There are about 90 million cats in the United States. That's a lot of cats. According to a 2004 survey, cats are the most popular pets in America. So we thought that on today's Please Explain, we would try to solve some of the mysteries of feline behavior. And with me now is cat expert Carol Wilborn. She's the author of several books, including The Total Cat, Cats on the Couch, and Cat Talk. She's also a cat therapist, and the Chicago Tribune has called her the founding mother of feline psychotherapy. I'm very pleased to welcome Carol Wilborn to my show today. Hello.
Hi, it's such an honor to be here. Everybody knows of your show forever.
Well, anybody who has a cat knows about you. So when you say you're a cat therapist, what does that mean? Obviously, you're not doing the talking cure. Well, the meowing cure, are you?
No. What I do is I listen to what the person thinks is wrong with their cat or what they'd like to change. And then I figure out why the cat is doing what it's doing and give them advice on how they can very, I'll put in quotes, practically change it so that they're living in harmony together.
There was a cartoon in the New Yorker recently in which a woman has come home to her dog. The dog is wagging his tail and looks very happy. And she and her thought balloon was love. And the dog's thought balloon was a can of dog food in my bowl. And is that basically what happens when humans and cats interact as well?
I think food has a lot to do with it, but many times people will feed their cats when they really want to be stroked and when they really want to be told how wonderful they are.
So it's not always so easy for cat owners to understand what their pets are trying to tell them?
Yeah, because they use the wrong translation, and that's why they ask my advice, because they want to know what their cat is saying.
Do cats say different things to other cats than they say to humans?
I would say they do, and they do it with their bodies, they do it with their ears, they do it with their voice, they do it with their tail, and other cats, you know, cats can be savvy, whereas people, you know, unless you really have known cats for a long time, it's hard to be as savvy.
So do purrs, meows, yowls, hisses all qualify as cat language?
They do, and I would say that the purr, Leonard, is the most confusing because a cat doesn't always purr when it's happy. It can purr when it's anxious.
We usually think contented.
Mm-hmm. Much of the time it is, but actually someone at the vet hospital, I'm in residence at Westside Veterinary Hospital, New York, and one of the technicians was saying to me, Carol, can you please tell me why when my cat is sitting on the floor on the rug while I'm watching TV and my cat starts to purr? He said, that would be contentment, wouldn't it? And why? I said, because you're happy. You know, your body's relaxed and your cat is reacting to your body language. And he said, but sometimes we have a cat up on the table and we're injecting it and the cat starts to purr. And he said, I know the cat isn't happy then. I said, no, it's not. It's purring because it becomes overstimulated. The energy works up and then the purring mechanism goes off.
So it's a sign that they're being stimulated, whether it's
yes,
positive or negative.
Yes, exactly, Leonard. It depends on the situation. It's all in context to what's happening.
What about, we're talking about reading what cats are telling us. What about cats reading us? How much can they read us? It seems to me that cats always know when you're going to take a can of cat food down.
Yes.
They seem to uh-huh. be there at uh-huh. the moment. Uh-huh. Maybe they uh-huh. hear the click of the can opener mm-hmm. or something and immediately appear.
I think that's true, but even cats that are deaf, they appear. There's a cat, Lucky, who does that. But at any rate, what happens is that your body takes on a certain kind of rhythm, and the cat becomes used to that when you're going into the kitchen. It also has to do with timing. And the cat's computer goes off. And it's, time to be fed.
Mm-hmm. Do they read other things? When we smile, does a cat interpret that, do you think, as a positive thing?
How they can do that, Leonard, is when we smile, our body's relaxing, our face is relaxing, and that's what they're in tune to. And so that when we relax, generally our cats will relax, and when our body contracts, because sometimes people will say, well, you know, I was really very upset, but there was no way for my cat to know it because I didn't say anything. They didn't really have to verbally say something. It was their body language.
But do you think that cats sometimes understand tone of voice?
They can. They do a lot. That's why I tell people sometimes you don't even have to be saying anything in particular, but they respond to how your voice sounds. Because, again, when you're saying good things, your body relaxes. When you're saying bad things, your body contracts because that's your association.
We're talking about cats on today's Please Explain with Carol Wilborn, author of The Total Cat, Cats on the Couch, Cat Talk. And this is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. Dog behaviors are usually explained by their histories. Some dogs are retrievers. Other dogs have wonderful noses. Well, all dogs seem to have wonderful noses, but some even more than others. What about cats? How much of their behavior is determined by their history, by the fact that they are related to the big wild cats?
I think that there's a lot you can say. There is a big connection there. Because if in looking at a cat, I think one of the reasons we like cats so much is because they're so graceful. The way they move. When they get up in the morning, they automatically practice yoga. And it takes us, you know, sometimes years and decades to learn that. And then when you think about a wild cat, it's sort of the same. And because we can't have wild cats, we have what we can have.
But wild cats have real problems living in captivity.
Anybody
who's seen a cat, a lion or a tiger in a zoo knows that they're unhappy. Does the same thing apply to cats who are homebound?
I think that there are some cats who are used to living outdoors and perhaps they were born outdoors. I think it's really hard for them to live indoors. They do need to be out. But I would say for the most part, cats are very adaptable. And if they happen to like the people they're living with, they'll stay. But on the other hand, if it's an outdoor cat, and it doesn't really like where it's living too much, it doesn't like the guardians, well, it'll take residence at another house.
Years ago, I had a Persian who had lived indoors all of her life, and then I moved to the country, and she found her way outside, really reveled in the outside, perhaps killed more birds than I would have preferred. And would come home after 2 days or so, always came home. But I was surprised that she had made the adjustment. There had been nothing in her education to have taught her to act that way.
I think, again, Leonard, because it's innate, it's inherited, because they are related to the wild cat. And it's just, it's natural. You know, they hunt, they do all kinds of things. And I think these instincts, they never totally die, but they can go into hibernation if a cat is living indoors.
What about when people declaw their cats?
Oh, I am really not in favor of that, because when you're declawing, Leonard, you're actually amputating part of the foot. I've always had scratching posts that work. I've had all different kinds, and when my cat goes to it, I praise her. I tell her she's wonderful, and so she runs around to each post because she knows she's going to be praised. Sometimes they use something like soft paws, which is a cap that goes over the paw, and that helps. But I'm really not in favor of declawing.
Do different breeds behave differently the way dog breeds behave differently?
I think to some extent, I wouldn't say generally, but they like to say that most Abyssinians are very active and they're very athletic, and Bengals are the same thing. And sometimes they'll say that a Persian cat more or less likes to strut around and look beautiful. I think it has a lot to do with the parents. And if no matter what what breed or non-breed it is. And if you put, you know, a mother and father cat together, and they're both kind of slow and easy, there's a good chance the cat will turn out. And when breeders are doing that, that's what they frequently try to do.
Are there some breeds that are closer to their wild ancestors? I was told that Maine Coon cats may very well have been emerging of Viking cats with lynxes or some other wild animals in the American Northeast.
I think that's possible, and also like the cat, you know, like the ocelot, and now the latest sort of designer cat is the Savannah, which is actually banned in some cities,
but not in Georgia.
Yes.
Is it true that dogs and cats don't get along? Is there a built-in antipathy?
Again, it depends on the dog and it depends on the cat. I know some dogs and cats, they live in better harmony than people. They sleep together. The dog will lick the cat. The cat will groom the dog. I mean, it's marvelous. Again, it depends.
But I've always thought that the first big problem is that when a dog wags his tail, he's saying, I'm happy. And when a cat wags her tail, she's telling us that she's unhappy.
No, again, that's in context, Leonard. There are cats their tails go all the time. They talk with their tails. You know how some people talk with their hands? There are some cats that talk with their tails.
And what about companionship? Cats have a reputation for being more aloof than dogs are. Is that another one of those generalizations?
I think it is true with some cats and not true with all cats. I think it depends on what kind of a, shall we say, catsonality the cat came into the world with, the genes, and the interaction with the guardian of the person that the cat lives with. I say guardian because you can't own a cat.
So are there ways that cats show affection other than sitting on your chest and purring?
I think a beautiful thing is that sometimes people have experienced that they might have been crying and they're just really so upset, and the cat will just come over and just sit right next to the person.
Dogs do that too.
Yeah, they do. But it's a beautiful thing. People don't think of cats doing that. And there'll be nurses to people when they're sick, and there'll be nannies to children. If the baby's crying, sometimes the cat will run and summon the people.
What about when a cat looks into your eyes and blinks? It always seems like they're kissing you at that time.
I think what they're doing is many times they're just reacting to what you're doing.
Also, some people believe that you should get them companionship, other cats. Is it good for them to have another cat in the home? Our sound engineer, Elena, had a brother and sister pair of cats, and last week the sister died, and the brother's been grieving ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And so has Alina, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure. I think in Alina's case, the cats had a really good relationship, and it sounded like he's really grieving. And I think it would be good to get a companion. There are some times where the relationship isn't that great, or the cat, the survivor, didn't get a lot of attention. Sometimes it prefers to be the only cat. But I think in this case, it would be good to get a kitten, and it would be nice if Lena could get a kitten the same color as the cat who passed on, because then her surviving cat will smell, because they can determine color by scent.
Because they see
familiar.
Black and white, don't they?
I have read for many years that a cat sees in black, white, and red. I'm not sure that we can ever prove that. But I do know that a cat can sense color by smell. To them, the colors smell differently. So if Lena got a cat with the same color of her former cat, I think that would be familiarity.
When people come to you as a cat therapist, is it generally the case that the cat is messed up or that the owner is the one who's really messed up?
I think sometimes it's a combination. What I'm actually doing is I'm doing bi-species therapy. I'm doing group therapy, family therapy, because my background...
With the cat there?
I do house calls, phone consultations. I do teleclasses on the phone. But I'm really taking into consideration what's happening with the person, what's happening with the cat, what's happening, and put it all together, because they do affect each other.
We're going to take a little break here, and when we come back, we will be taking your calls. My guest on Please Explain is Carol Wilborn, who is a cat expert and author of a number of books on cats, The Total Cat, Cats on the Couch, at Cat Talk. She is also a cat therapist. Our number, 212-433-9692. That's 433-WNYC. We'll be back with your calls right after this. We're back with Please Explain. My guest is Carol Wilborn, CaroleWilbourn. She also has a website called thecattherapist.com in case you want to follow up on the things that we discussed today. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Let's go to Gretchen. Hi, Gretchen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, and you? And how's your cat?
She's okay for the most part. I had a question. I have a cat that she was an only cat for quite some time. She's extremely affectionate. She sleeps in our arms. She's very affectionate. But one day I brought home a kitten that smelled, had lived with a bunch of other cats. And this affectionate cat, the female, the one that I've owned, completely went just out of her mind and attacked me and attacked my daughter and put puncture wounds in us and the whole nine. And over time, she we separated them, and she grew to accept the cat. Now they're best friends. But every few years, something like a cat in our backyard or something will freak her out, and she'll attack us all over again. But she seems to completely detach from who she normally is. Her eyes go weird, and it takes hours and hours and hours of keeping her locked in the bathroom before she'll calm down enough to be handled again. And I have no idea how to calm her down.
Is that a matter of territoriality?
It's a matter of fear. She becomes overwhelmed at either the seeing the cat or smelling them, and she actually relives something that might have happened to her once upon a time. Gretchen, I take it she's a spayed cat?
Yeah, she's spayed. And shortly after the first attack, we had her declawed because she did so much damage to us the first time. And she completely, her eyes look different, her body language, it's almost like she's a completely different cat for
she
about
is.
6 hours.
You could imagine yourself if you got upset with something and you just went cuckoo. That's what happens to her. Is there any way that you can shelter her from these outdoor, the alien cats?
Yeah, for the most, like I said, it only happens every couple, 2 or 3 years, because what will happen is we'll forget about it and we'll leave a window open, and a neighborhood cat will come into the backyard or up on the windowsill. And then it's just everybody in the house freezes.
Gretchen, what you're doing is you're unprovokingly, unwittingly, you're making way for this to happen. Try to just every now and then take some inventory and say, hey, we can't do this, because even a cat who wasn't so sensitive and neurotic would be upset with an outdoor cat. So please do your best. And I think in reading one of my books, that'll help you. There are things you can do to relax, or playing music, making tapes, catnip, all kinds of things. And you might want to refer to my column for indefensive animals. Just go on to my website and you'll find it. Thanks, Gretchen.
Thank you for calling us. But what about aggressive cats? Some cats are really loving. Other cats are a problem always. They bite. They scratch. What seems to be no provocation?
I do get many cases like that. Sometimes the cat is aggressive. I refer to it as the single cat syndrome. It's the only cat, and so it treats the people that he or she lives with as other cats. And in that case, they would have to get the right kitten so the cat could play with the kitten and work out the energy. I have all kinds of introductions for that.
But maybe we should just get rid of some cats the way we get rid of some dogs. A pit bull who starts biting people is really a dangerous animal.
Leonard, in my experience, and I've been doing this for 30-something years, I have found that with most cats, there is a peaceful, harmonious remedy.
Okay. We go now to John. Hi, John. You're on the Leonard Lopate Show.
Hi, Leonard. How are you? Thank you.
I'm well. What's your question?
Well, I have a wonderful cat. She's about 16 years old. She thinks she's a kitten. She loves attention. She loves to be roughed up. She likes to have her tail pulled. She comes back for more. And I think, you know, that I'm treating her fine. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the last couple of months, she started going to the bathroom outside of her box, on the floor around the box.
Oh, my dear. When's the last time you've had her checked out medically?
I called the vet and asked him a couple of months ago. I haven't brought her to the vet for...
How long?
Almost a year.
Okay. She is 16. She is well over a senior cat. I would say at this point she's geriatric. She's really trying to tell you something. It may be she has a kidney problem. It may be a thyroid problem. I do think it would be good to make an appointment to take her and get her checked out and to rule that out, because when a cat's behavior becomes deviant, there's usually a reason. And she's really trying to give you a message.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we thank you for your call. This is WNYC. Our number is 212-433-9692. I'm speaking with Carol Wilburn about cats on today's Please Explain. Peter, you're on the show.
Hello?
Yes, Peter.
Oh, yes. Leonard, Carol, hello.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks so much for doing this episode, by the way. My situation, similar to the guy who just called in, my cat Molly. Ever since she was a kitten, I couldn't have any throw rugs, like Persian rugs, down on the floor, because she'd use them as a litter box. But recently, she started wetting on my bed.
Oh, my dear.
Now, just like once every couple of months, the last time it was during the night while I was sleeping.
Ooh,
the
Peter.
The time before that was when I went away for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Peter, how old is she?
Molly's also 16.
Oh, so really similar. And you have had her checked out medically?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I'm not saying that she absolutely has a medical problem,
mm-hmm.
but we do want to cover all the bases and make sure.
Right.
If it turns out not to be a medical problem, things that you can do to make sure she reaches the box when she might be too tired to go,
mm-hmm.
Is to escort her to the box, make little trips, and give her lots of praise whenever you see her in the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cats who have problems, and what they'll do is they'll give a little cry, and they love when their person walks them to their litter box. So that's something to try.
Okay.
My books will give you information. If you go on to my website and look into my column, idausa.org, in the archives.
I'm sorry, is that the website, Carol?
My website is thecattherapist.com.
Oh, okay, good.
If you go on there, you can go on to my column, which is Cats on the Couch. Or if you want to, just do idausa.org, and you'll hit my column.
Thank you for calling us. What about cat boxes? Aren't they genetically actually predisposed to use cat litter?
Oh, they absolutely are, Leonard, and that's why so many people love getting cats, because you don't have to normally do house training. They just go to it. When they're not using it, there's a problem. It could be elementary. It could be the box isn't clean enough. It could be they want it covered, they want it uncovered, that you've changed the litter, the box isn't private enough. There are all kinds of elementary things. Sometimes cats like two boxes. So if all that is covered and they're not using the litter box, something's wrong.
Some people just can't stand the smell of mm-hmm. what goes on in the litter box. Other people are totally allergic to cats.
Yeah. You know, they are, but I've had one case. There are cats in Connecticut that I go to, and whenever a cat passes on, the people always like to have four cats, and they replace the cat. And the matriarchal cat is actually Harmony. But the husband was always allergic and had to use an inhaler, you know, close to asthma. And the woman kept saying, why don't you go to my chiropractor? I bet that the chiropractor could help you. He refused. He finally went, and whatever adjustments the chiropractor made, the man no longer has to use an inhaler. In fact, sometimes in the middle of the night, the woman will wake up and she'll think he's dead because he's not wheezing, because she lived with that for so long. But there are sometimes you can do things to help.
But dander is an issue, and I understand
is,
that also cats licking their fur creates a condition that can affect some people.
Yes, yes, it can, and sometimes people, for that reason, they'll get a sphinx cat, a hairless cat, because they want to have a cat.
Which, of course, also eliminates hairballs.
Yes, that's very true.
But that Petromalt, does that really work for
hairballs? Many times it does, but I always try to tell people, brush your cat every day. That'll really do it. And some people will say, my cats don't like to be brushed. But slowly but surely, you can get them to the habit. Sometimes you can just use a wet paper towel to start the motion going.
Vicki from Brewster, New York. Hi, you're on the Leonard Lopate Show. Vicki, you there? Well, okay. I know Vicki wanted to ask about overeating. How do you prevent a cat from overeating?
Well, if it's the only cat, it's much easier, because then you can just divide the amount of food it must get into several feedings. With some cats, you can even give them vegetables that are low in calories if the cats will eat them, and that will help. If you have a couple of cats and one of them is a twiggy and the other tends to be overweight, you might have to separate them while eating.
Because one will do all the eating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Push the other one away.
And the other will remain a twig. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Allison, hi. You're on New York Public Radio.
Hi. I've had a great time listening to everything. Most of my questions have been answered.
Great.
But at first I thought this is kind of strange, a cat therapist, but I think it's wonderful. I just wanted to actually make a comment about declawing. I know that there are so many people against it, but I have declawed all of my cats because I have young children, and they seem so normal. I've even had my cat, who was an indoor cat, live out in the country in France, and she did wonderfully. They caught birds and bats, and so I just am wondering if it really is as bad as some people think it is, or I mean, they're so happy.
Let's put it this way. I'm so happy that you haven't had problems. I really am so happy that you haven't. And your cats have been very lucky, and you've been very lucky. But I see many cases of cats who've been declawed, and the stress was just too great for them. And pretty soon they're avoiding the litter box. They become aggressive. They become shy. I remember going to one case. It was in Neptune, New Jersey. It was a house call. And I think I was going because they were trying to decide whether to get another cat, and I have an introduction on how to introduce and all that. I walked in, and right away I noticed the cat was limping. And I said, oh, God, why is your cat limping? And they said, oh, it was declawed a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, well, that's
bad declawed job.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've seen bad nose jobs, too. Thank you so much for calling
us.
Thank you.
Clara.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I have a question about my cat. Sometimes when she's, like, very relaxed, she likes to, you know, use her front paws to press back and forth, and, you know, like with her bed, and sometimes when she rests on me, it's
kneading.
Like a kneading motion. Yeah, so I was wondering why she's doing that.
She associates that with bliss, with happiness. That's how she nursed her mother. And that's how she, you know, nursed getting the nipple. And it brings back all that, those wonderful memories.
And it's okay if you don't have very good clothing on, and the cat is doing that into your best trousers, your best dress.
My other question is, what do you think of the automatic litter box? You know, the ones that's like self-cleaning.
I find that for some cats it works, but I think it's risky because some cats become frightened, and you don't want them to become traumatized by the litter box, because then they won't want to go near the litter box. You also don't want them to hold it, because then if they hold it, they can get cystitis, and even with a male cat, he can become obstructed. They're tricky.
My last question is, one time my cat hid in a closet for like over a week. And I was not able to reach into the closet because it's like a walk-in. I live in a loft, and it's a complicated structure. Like, next time, what can I do of course, you know, I try all means to, you know, prevent her from getting into the closet. But if she does, you know, hide in that again, like, what can I do to...
She's making a kind of a nest in there?
No, she's just, like, hiding. And but then she's also crying for help. I think she was trapped. I actually had to get the firemen to help rescue her. But, you know, the firemen couldn't reach deep enough to the closet.
I really think that you need to do some prevention here. Have someone in who can figure out how to keep this from happening.
But
again,
don't you think that cat, I know I had that experience once with a cat who tended to be nervous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She would hide in difficult places to protect herself, and then
yes.
Couldn't get herself out.
Right, but I can see she can't keep having firemen come in.
Yeah.
So I think what you have to do is try to provide another little place that she can hide in, so that she'll be able to get out.
A listener who couldn't wait wanted to know about a cat who woke him up every morning at 4:30.
Oh.
My recommendation would be, if you can close the door, do that, mm-hmm. and then the cat will have to wait until you wake up. But that can't always be the case.
Yeah. What happens is that the cat is reacting to his biorhythm. Generally, the middle of the night, the wee hours, then the person's body language changes, and sometimes it can actually wake the cat up, so to speak. So what he can do is, if he gets up during the night before then, find a room to put the cat in with all the creature comforts, and do it in a nice way. Say, here, you can have peace, and I'll have peace. The cat will know what he's talking about, but he'll get the energy. And then when he actually gets up in the morning, he can let the cat out.
Thank you for your call. We go now to Alan in Brooklyn, if I can get this thing to work. Alan?
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Your question?
I've got a cat, Chase. He's 18 years old.
Wow.
This week.
Great.
He's an exotic short hair.
Oh, pretty.
Which, really, he's a mutant. And I just shaved him. And he loves it.
Huh.
You know, he was a long-haired cat. And in the summertime, I mean, for years, I once took him to a groomer. And, you know, she said, oh, my God, I can't, you know, you're going to have to hold the cat. I'm going to have, you know, because I'm going to get all cut up. I said, you don't know this cat. Chase is absolutely fearless.
Well, we're running out of time, so what's your question?
I want to know age cats compared to dog age. How old would 18 be? I mean, I'm guessing he's about 90.
I think you're about right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know, I think the oldest cat I've ever known has lived until 30 or 31.
Yeah,
wow.
I have no doubt that he'll outlive me.
Sounds good.
He just recently taught a young pit bull lab mix how to deal with cats properly.
Ah.
But dogs have much shorter lives, don't they?
Generally, the larger the dog is, the shorter the life is.
We have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your call. And my great thanks to Carol Wilborn, who is the author of several books, The Total Cat, Cats on the Couch, Cat Talk. There's also a website. Check our website to find out more.